Set folder A, hit record.
Yep.
It's recording.
Okay.
And I want to say to you, you know, I've been doing a lot of reflecting and maybe some of the thoughts I shouldn't share with you. it's just amazing to see what God does. And I want to encourage you, as the Spirit leads you to express yourself, please do that. If God tells you to get up and give a testimony, get up and give a testimony. And I'm going to give a time at the end of the message if some of you have testimonies, you want to share your heart, and I will give that time at the end. And right now, I want you to open your Bibles back up to Job. I couldn't think of anything better. I'm sorry? Oh, okay. All right, we're going to dismiss the kids at this time. So, kids, if you'll follow Brother Jason and Sister Chanel, they got something fun for you. All right, and thank you, Brother Tim, for that water. I drink plenty of it. Amen. And so, as I was reflecting on the last past couple messages, I thought how fitting God would lead us through this section of Scripture and led me to preach on faith. And I think about, I hope you guys listen when the messages are preached, because they have seemed to be on point to the place where it's scary. And one thing that I realized early on when I started preaching was that I was going to be tested on every single... I didn't understand to what degree, but everything that I've preached from this pulpit, I've been tested on. And I mean to tell you, it's happened like this for me. Every message that I have preached, I have been tested on shortly after. Sometimes a little bit longer, but every single message I've preached, I've been tested on. So, just hang on for a minute. Your test is coming a little bit later. Amen? It won't be on paper, though. It's going to be in your heart. And I got news for you. God doesn't do things in order to tear you down. He does them in order to build you up. And He sends the fire so that He can refine you. And what happens when a metal goes through fire is that all the impurities are burned off, so that what's left is pure. And I got news for you. When you stand before God, only that which is pure is going to withhold the fire that He's going to test your work with when you stand before Him. We'll not be judged for our sins. We'll be judged for what we did with Christ after we were saved. And I got news for you. I'm probably going to lose a few rewards. I'll probably have some rewards up there that I should have gained, but because I was not steadfast in my faith, I lost them. But there came a day where I decided to stand up by faith. And I got news for you. God puts us all through tests. I think last week we talked about how Job's wife taught us some things. And she taught us not to ask foolish questions, not to act as the foolish do. And if there's only 3 points, but let me just reiterate those points from last week. It's the foolish who claim any excuse for not being faithful. If there's ever a time you need to be faithful, it's now. This is not the time to back up or go back or to question what God did in your life that brought you to this place. This is the time to stand firm. And only the foolish make excuses for being faithful. We said last week that it's the foolish to think that God has no further use for us. I mean, does that not apply to what we're going through right now? It's foolish to think that God has no further use for us. Amen? And then I want to say to you lastly, it is foolish to forget the goodness of God when troubles come. I'm just reading to you the same points I preached to you last week. It's foolish to forget the goodness of God when things get hard. It's then when you need to reflect on what God has done in your life. All the blessings He's given you. And what He's brought you through. All the things He's protected you from. All the times He's come through for you in the clutch. Those are the things that we need to remember now. And I want to say to you this morning that Jesus answered Job's questions. If we'll turn to Job chapter 14 this morning, Job chapter 14, we see three questions that Job asked God that are very pertinent and things that you may think about when you're going through a storm. We're looking at chapter 14, and we're going to read three verses, and I'm going to go back through the chapter, but I want you to look at verse 4 with me, verse 10, and verse 14. The three questions that Job asks: who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. You think about that for a minute. Let that ruminate in your head. Aren't we all sinners? Amen. Haven't we all made mistakes? Amen. Don't we continue to sin and make mistakes? Amen. Who can make a clean thing out of one that's unclean? Not one of us. Good question. And then the second question, verse 10. Job says this: but man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? I mean, you think about what Job was going through. Godly man, God-fearing man, put God first in everything, worshiped God in front of his children, taught him right, did everything that was right, and then look what happened to him. And these questions came to Job while he was in the midst. Now, I want you to understand something. Job did not have the completed Word of God like we have today. As a matter of fact, they say that Job is the oldest book in the Bible. So before Moses was, there was Job. And Job went through some trials without having the Word of God to assure him, without having some of the things that have happened to the patron saints to look back on, history. He faced these trials head on, him and God, with very little answers and a lot of questions. And then I want you to see the last question, verse 14. He says, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change come. That's old-fashioned there. Some of y'all don't even know about that. Old-fashioned saints used to say, I'm going to wait until my change comes. And what they were saying was, they were going to wait until God changed them, till they were converted, till they saw the evidence of the Holy Spirit living within them. But Job said, I'm going to wait until my body gets raptured out of here. Amen. I'm going to wait until God gives me a new body. I'm going to wait until I see heaven itself and I'm with God. And so I want to preach to you this morning. Jesus answered Job's questions. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your great love and your great mercy. And we know that none of these things that have happened to us recently have caught you by surprise. And Father, some are not able to think during times like this with a spiritual mindset. They're not able to assure themselves that you are in control. And that God, you foreknew that this would happen. And you brought us all together for such a time as this. Some are not able to do that. Some are not able to claim the promises of God, which are yea and yea in Christ Jesus. And the fact that you are not a man, that you should lie. And that you're not slack concerning any of your promises, as some men count slack. But you are faithful, and we can trust in you. And so, Father, I just pray that you'll speak to each and every heart here this morning, that you'll encourage us through your Word. Help us to see through the eyes of faith and not lean on the arm of the flesh. And God, I know you'll do a miracle in each and every heart. Those that are need comfort, God, I pray that you'll bring that comfort this morning. Those that need assurance, help them to have that assurance. And those that need deliverance, God, give them deliverance. And those that need salvation, God, bring it today. Have your will in your way in the service in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to remind you, of course, as we talked about it last week, that Job was a good man. The Bible says that he was a righteous man, that he feared God and eschewed evil. That means that he had a reverence for God like none other, that he did not want to be yoked together with anything evil. He stayed away from it. He had a good reputation. He had a good walk with God. He had a good testimony. And now I want you to understand that he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Can you imagine the responsibility that Job had? But I want to say to you, God was good to Job. God provided many animals. He provided lands. He provided servants. God was good to Job. And He put a hedge around Job that no one could touch him. Except God allowed something to happen to him. And I want to say something to you this morning. Many times we get down in our pities and our woes and we forget that we're God's children. We forget that we have promises from God to protect us and that nothing will harm us in His economy. And let me just say this. The only thing that He does is He allows us as a loving Father to go through some tests and some trials. And I got news for you. It's not over. It's not over. It's not over until, like Job says, he sees the worms eating his body. And he'll see that happen. He'll see it from a different perspective. But let me just say, he was wealthy and he had so much from God. And then the tragedy struck. Remember last week we saw that all his oxen and asses were stolen and his servants were killed. And then lightning strikes, took his sheep, and more of his servants died. And then the camel was stolen, and more of his servants were lost. And then lastly, we saw that his children died in a storm, and then he had boils on his body from head to toe, as if it couldn't get any worse. Be careful when you say that, amen? Could it get any worse? Yes, it could. And so, but then we see what Job is posed with, some questions, some very valid questions that he asked the Lord. He says, the first one in verse 4, he says, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one." Now, what I want you to see here is that while Job is going through his trial, he, just like us, takes his eyes off of God for a few minutes and he puts them on his woes and he starts into self-pity. Job begins to question his relationship with God. He begins to question what's going on in his life and he takes his focus off of God and puts them on his problems. That's where this question came from. Can a clean thing come out of an unclean thing? And I got news for you. When you're going through something and it's out of your control, many times we feel unclean. But can I say to you this morning that feelings are not facts? My wife and I have been a lot better than my wife. I've watched my wife go up and down and up and down and up and down. And I don't think I've seen her cry as much as I have in the past few days since the entire time we've been married. And I think I know her heart as well as I know mine, that she loves the Lord. She loves His church. She loves every single member of the church. And it hurts her to see us go through things. It's like a mother when a child gets hurt. It's hard to watch. I thank God I wasn't in the hospital when David started choking, because I probably would have lost my mind. It's hard to watch your children go through things. And you know what? God's children, God knows exactly what's going on in your life. He knows the heartache you feel right now, the uncertainties. He knows the fears that you face. He knows that some of you are concerned about your finances. But guess what? He's still in charge. Amen? He's still in charge. He's still the same God He was yesterday as He is today. And He has not changed. And He's not backed down on His promises. And He's not a liar. And He's not a man that He should lie, the Bible says. And so, I want you to understand it even gets worse. Let's look at it in verse 3. He says, "And dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one, and bringest me into judgment with thee?" You see, he says, who can make an unclean people and clean? And let me just say this. He looks at the Lord and he says, how can I possibly stand with you? That's how he feels. He feels like he's low. He feels like he's dirty. But yet, never charged God foolishly. And let me just say this. Who can make a sinful person clean? Jesus can. You remember Him? Amen. Jesus can. Jesus answered these questions later on. I want to remind you of the woman at the well in John chapter 4. You remember what she was doing? She had five husbands and the one she was with was not her husband. And she met Jesus and she received Jesus Christ by faith. In spirit and in truth, the Bible says. And then in a moment, this unclean person became clean and she went to turn and witness the people who knew her. Just a few minutes ago, she was in sin and lost, and now she's saved, and she goes and witnesses to an entire village, and people begin to get saved. And those that still didn't trust, she said, come, see a man like you've never seen before. And she took him to Jesus, and he saved the rest of them. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 2. We talked about this. I'm just going to remind you of what we've already talked about. This man, that because of the press, he could not get near to Jesus. And in Mark chapter 2, we look at it, as I'm turning there as well. I want you to read the first four verses. Mark chapter 2. The Bible says, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they came unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of the four. Remember, they bore him. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. Now watch what it says here in verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the one sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I want you to understand, he made something very unclean clean right then and there. And all it took was faith. And then I want to remind you of Zacchaeus. Turn to Luke chapter 19. As we look at the Scripture, I want you to understand, this is God's book, not mine. And you can access it at any time. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 and verses 8 through 10. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord. Now you remember Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And he was a thief. And he cheated people regularly. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. What I want to say to you is, it wasn't Zacchaeus buying God off. What it was Zacchaeus repenting of what he had done. And God saw his faith. You understand, there's some that call themselves Christians that when they cheat or they rob or they make a mistake, they don't want to give anything up. They don't want to restore anything. You know, when I got saved, I tell you what, I wanted to make everything right that I had done wrong in my life. But thank God for grace. Thank God for His mercy. He doesn't require us at the hand of the law. But guess what? A repentant heart will show the willingness to do whatever it is God asks. And God made Zacchaeus clean that day. He changed his heart. And Zacchaeus, you see the repentance done there. So who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Jesus Christ can. And then let's look at the second question. Verse 10. Verse 10 of Job 14. Verse 10, Job chapter 14. But man dieth and wasteth the way. Make sure I'm on the right. Yes. But man dieth and wasteth the way. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? You know, I want you to understand, at this particular time in his life, this shook Job to the core. And I want you to understand something. When you're going through a trial, the natural thing to do is to go all the way back to when you got saved. And what you'll do in the flesh is question, did I get saved? What does this mean? Some things are so hard they shake you to the core, and you go back there. Look at verse 1. Job is reminded that man is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble. Now, some make fun of that verse. Amen. Because we're all born of woman. Amen. But we're few of days. You know how short life is? Life is short. Look at verse 2. He says, "He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." You know, Job compares his life to a flower. It's so short. You see how we can come and just cut the grass down and we don't think anything of it? But listen, and it's regenerating all the time. We look at the birds of the field. God takes care of them. And we don't give any thought to that. And life is short. You think about all that you go through. I've been through the death of my father. I've lost some friends. I've been moved from place to place. I've been through a lot early on in my life. And this is not just a woe is me along. But God has brought me along through a lot of trials. I've had death threats on my life. Not for any reason but the color of my skin. I've been in some situations that no one would want to be in. I've been called every kind of name in the book. Amen. And that won't change anytime soon either. Amen. But but life is short. And in the meantime, you're going to have to deal with problems all the way until the day you die. That's how you know you're alive. As a matter of fact, you can take time right now and pinch yourself. If you feel pain, then you're still alive. Amen? And so, he asked that question. Yea, man, give up the ghost, and where is he? Where do people go when they die? Well, I got news for you. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus said, lost people go to hell. Lost people go to hell. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I'm going to tell you something. We fear a lot of things in this life unnecessarily. The one we should fear the most is God Himself. Because He's in control of who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. And I got news for you. If you're unsaved today, that's where you're headed. And Job knew that. He knew that an unsaved person would go to hell. But yet he asked this question, where does the man go after he dies? And I want to say Jesus answered the second part of that also. He gave a glimpse of hell. You remember we read Luke chapter 16. We talked about the rich man that went to hell. And Lazarus, the poor man. Well, I got news for you. Hell is a very real place. And if you've not accepted Christ and do not know for sure, then that is the place that we're headed. Now, I remember in 1978, 10 years old, accepting Christ. I always go back there. As a matter of fact, physically I go back there from time to time. I go back to the First Baptist Church in Lake Park. I go upstairs in that second grade classroom where I got saved. And the last time I went there, the room was arranged exactly the same way I remember. Had not changed. And I could point to the spot where I accepted Christ. And that from that day to now, everything has been different. I've lived the life of faith. I've lived the life that's not my own, but it's my Savior who bought me and paid for me with a price. I've lived according, sometimes not so good, and sometimes I've pleased God. But my life is not my own anymore. And I've been changed. And I know I'm different. And I know that any circumstance that I go through now has been governed by that one fact alone. I've lied, but I cannot lie as bad as I used to. I've been dishonest, but God has rebuked me. And He has chastened me. And He has let me know that I'm His own. And He's brought me to a place of repentance. That's how I know I'm different. Amen? I have something in me now that will only let me go so far. And some of us, we need to look at the bad stuff. But I look at the good too. You know, God has answered prayer at the perfect opportunity. There could have been nothing else but God. God is in every detail of every circumstance of every one of our lives. And if you don't believe me, just take your eyes off for a minute and something's going to happen and then you're going to be looking right back there. Amen? Listen, He's in control. But listen, I want to say to you that Jesus said to save people, go to heaven. John chapter 14 says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And so, we have heaven to look forward to. For those of us who have accepted Christ and we know that we're on our way to heaven, there's another place, there's another land, there's an eternal resting place. And we don't have to worry about the pain and suffering like we do down here. And we don't have to worry about the uncertainty of things being taken care of us, taken away from us. I have to confess to you, you know, I get attached to things of this world. I get attached to things. And you know how I let go of them? Like this. Just like that. All the way. You know, I look back at what happened with the building. I was doing this for 2 years. Holding them off. Going to the banks. Telling you guys to pray. We need finance. For 2 years. I hope you were praying, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because God knew what was going to happen.
Amen.
And I've preached message after message about the church and about faith and about clinging to God and not to things or people or looking to man's reasoning but God's reasoning. I preached like that and preached like that and preached like that. So when our test came, how did you respond? That's for you. And I know, I look at myself, and I've walked through this thing right now, and we're still in the middle of it. But as I look back, I don't have any regrets. I have a couple things that I need to tighten up on. But I have stood before God. He has looked at my heart, and I'm looking at Him right now. And I don't have any regrets. I know that things will get better. I know that it will be different. I know that the decisions that I make from here on out will fall on me. Amen? Not anybody else, not any other preacher, not any other circumstance. And listen, God is faithful. He's in charge. And none of this catches Him by surprise. But how do you fare? How do you fare when things happen? Do you crumble and fall apart? I got news for you. God has designed this test to build your faith. That's what He's trying to do. He's trying to build your faith. He's trying to stamp His image in your heart. He's trying to make you the true church of God that people can see His image in, that can see, that are steadfast. You know, I was talking to different people. Different people respond different ways. Some are like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? The same thing I've always been doing. Keep praying, keep reading my Bible, keep standing for God. Whether it's here or somewhere else, I'm still going to be the same me. I'm going to be the one that God made me. I'm going to keep trusting Him. That's what I'm going to do. And I had to limit myself to being around that. You want to know why? Because if you let that stuff inside your spirit, it'll sink in there and it'll cause you to have discomfort and unrest and it will mess with your faith. But you have to decide through your mind, I'm going to trust God. What did Peter went to Jesus and said, not so, Lord, you can't go to the cross. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm not receiving that lie. I must go to the cross, is what he was saying, in order to save your wretched soul.
Amen.
You know, everything that has life comes from some death. Do you know that eternal life comes from death? And some things have to be put to death in order for the living to live. Amen? We got to let go of that stuff. We got to let go of that mindset. We've got to look through the eyes of faith. We got to look through the eyes of Job and be encouraged, amen, because he didn't have the Word of God. He asked these questions that we can look at today. I know that Paul agreed. He said, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait between two, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, but nevertheless to abide in the flesh, which is more needful for you." What he said was, there's still work to do. And I'm here because God wants me here. And He wants you here to encourage others. And yeah, it'd be better to go to heaven. But right now, there's some work to do. 2 Corinthians 5:8, Paul said this, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." There is a place called heaven. And when you die, if you're saved this morning, that is where you're going to go. Without a doubt. And so, Job asked the question, can any clean thing come out of the unclean? Yea, man gives up the ghost. Where is he? Well, that depends largely upon you. Have you accepted Christ? If you have, then you're going to heaven. If you haven't, then you're headed to hell. And I got news for you. If you've accepted Christ, then you have every confidence, every promise in the book, everything to assure you that God is in control in your life. And then lastly, I want you to see the last question that Job asked. Job asked the last question in verse 14. We're going to look at that real quick. Job chapter 14, verse 14. "If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change come." Job wants to know what happens to the body. And he thinks about the loss of his children. He lost all of his children. He lost servants. And through the storm and the sorrow, he's depressed. He's hurting. And he looks back at the wreck of his life. And he wants to know, will I live again? Will I live again? I mean, this shook him to the bones. And now I want you to understand that Jesus promised that He is the resurrection and the life. Turn to John chapter 11. Jesus promised that He is the resurrection. John chapter 11. I want you to read it for yourself. John chapter 11, starting in verse 20. The Bible says this, "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming..." Remember her brother Lazarus died, her and Mary. "And as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him, but Mary sat still in the house. And then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if Thou hadst been there, my brother had died." Some of y'all feel like that about that building. If you had been there, this wouldn't have happened. That's not true. Amen. Look at what he says. He says, "Then said..." She says, "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee." And Jesus said unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." And Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And look at verse 26. "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" He asked her the question. Do you believe that? Amen. There is a resurrection. And then I want you to understand, Jesus promised that. But His resurrection guarantees that we will rise again. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And about verse 20. Chapter 15 and verse 20. I'm just reminding you of some things. Chapter 15 and verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Meaning that because of our sin we have to die, but because of Jesus Christ's righteousness, He came as a man, He sacrificed Himself for us, and because of His one sacrifice, we all get to rise again.
Amen.
That is what that means. And look at it. He says, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming, and then cometh the end. When He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Watch this. Verse 25. For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His foot, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. There will be no more death. God is going to even wipe away death from the earth. Amen. Listen, will a man live again? Absolutely. How fortunate are we today to have these promises in the Word of God? We're so fortunate. Job didn't. He didn't have those promises. He was forced to go through as he did. And let me just conclude it like this. I want you to understand that God didn't leave Job in his time of trouble. And I want you to see Job's faith increase. Look, turn back to Job chapter 14. We'll pick it up and I'm going to close right here. I want you to see Job's response. It's easy to give up on God when you're in the middle of a storm. But this is where your faith is put to the test. And don't you dare give up, because I got news for you. I did that once, only to be brought back full circle to that same test again. It didn't go anywhere. Look at verses 14 and 15. This is what Job says. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change come. Look at verse 15. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Wilt thou have a desire to the work of thine hands? You see, Job begins to be encouraged in God, and he understands that God's not going to leave him there. He starts to be encouraged. And then I want you to look in 19, chapter 19. We see his full confidence. He builds back up in his faith, chapter 19, in verse 25. He says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He had the complete confidence of knowing that there is a resurrection, that he would be given a new body, that he'd stand before God in flesh. How about you this morning? Do you have that full confidence and assurance? Listen, all of this stuff is fading. It's passing by. The things that we need to cling to are the Word of God, because it endures forever. Amen? We need to endure. We need to cling to our faith in Christ, because Christ doesn't change. And then I want to say to you that in your distress, Jesus will meet every single need. I want to say to you this. I can't give assurance to all. Nor am I of that type of stature to be able to give you the confidence that you need. The only thing that I can do is point you to the one who can. And I got news for you. He doesn't want you to trust me. He wants you to trust Him. And if I didn't point you to Him, I wouldn't be doing my job. Because you know what? When this whole thing happened and it hit, I'm looking to Him going, all right, Lord, what do I do next? It's not, am I saved? I know I'm saved. It's not, am I in sin? No. I've been following You this whole time. I got nothing to hide. The books are clear. It's all up front. What do I do now? Later on, I'll look at it and go, what does that mean? Right now, I know what it means. It means God's trying to build our faith. You know how I know that? Every single message that I've preached on is about faith. That's how I know. God doesn't change because the circumstances change. He exists in His Word. He exists in your heart. He has not changed. He doesn't need to change. He's perfect. But what He needs us to do is to change. We need to examine our own hearts and see, first of all, if we be in the faith. Secondly, what is it that your heart's attached to in this world? You know, we moved to Northport a few years back. And just to tell you, I come from the dirt. I come from dirt poor. That's where I come from. We grew up dirt poor. Never had anything of our own. Everything we had got taken away. We didn't have air conditioning. We didn't have cable. In the summertime, in the hottest day, we would gather around the air conditioner in one room that was in the front of the block. Okay, one central air. It was one of them wall units. Okay, and they carved it out and had a metal frame around it because when the air conditioner broke, you had to take it out to fix it. That's what we gathered around in the hottest part of the summer. And we took cold showers. I remember one summer it was 100 degrees. Everything burned up. All the grass, the shrubs, everything was burned up. And we didn't have a whole lot of reprieve, so we'd go in the house at night when it was about 85 degrees. And we'd jump in the shower and take a cold shower to cool us down before we went to bed and sweated all night. That's how I grew up. I went fishing and hunting because I couldn't afford to do nothing else. We used cane poles. They were cheap. Well, I dug in the earth for worms. I didn't go to the store and buy them. All right? That's how I grew up. And when we bought that house in Northport just a few years back, I said, man, God's been good. Look at how good He is. And He gave me a wife, but He provided everything I needed with that wife and with that family. Because before, I made all that money and I didn't progress at all. I was spending my wheels, all that money, and wasted it. But now that I have a family, sometimes we scrape by, but I have so much more now than I ever had before that. And it's all because of God. It all centers around when I surrendered my will to God. That's when I started to gain. It's when I made a decision that day I was going to serve Him. And He has brought me so far, and I'm in a better place than I've ever been before. But even with all of that, if He took it all right now, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My faith is built on Him and nothing less. Jesus' righteousness. Amen. His blood. The promises that He's given me. I don't have to cling to these things. And you know what He does every once in a while when I get comfortable? He stirs me. Lets things stir up. I'll put it to you this way. In the grand scheme of things, what we've gone through and what we're going through is a very light affliction. It's a very light affliction. The things in that church are the church's. It's not ours individually. It's not being stripped from us. It's a drop in the bucket. Our faith is much more valuable than that. And we can do all things with Christ who strengthens us. We can move forward in full confidence and assurance that God is in the middle of the boat. Somebody, I love when I go through things, how people will come, they know I'm a preacher, and they'll preach to me. And they offer words of encouragement, and they are so true. Somebody said this morning, God is in the boat. Couldn't really say anything else. They just said, God is in the boat with us. We're in the boat with God. God's in the boat with us. He might seem like He's sleeping right now, but when God is in the boat, you have nothing to fear. Think about it, folks. And then Peter did something just crazy. He stepped out of the boat. That's where some of us need to do. When you get the confidence of knowing that God is there with you in the middle of your storm, that no matter what you do, He said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. As a matter of fact, He designed this storm for you. You'll say, you know what? God, I don't need you to hold me like a little child. Let me step out on faith. I'm going to step out of this boat and I'm going to trust you even in the midst of the storm when there seems to be nothing around. That's when you know your faith has grown. And in the meantime, let me just encourage you to do this. For those who are around us that are wavering, their faith is not that big, encourage them, pray for them, and most of all, understand. Because you know what? People make foolish decisions when things get tough. They abandon, they get scared, they run, they hide, they protect, they cover up. But you can be right there just like Jesus would be and say, it's all right. It's all right. Nothing happened to you. This didn't happen to you specifically. All of us are going through this together. We can help each other. And God's in the middle of the boat. Amen. Don't forget, it's His ship. One last promise. Jesus said this, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now that doesn't mean we take the posture where we sit on our butt and wait for God to protect us. What it means is that we go and charge the gates of hell and try to rattle loose another soul that's captive by the devil. Because the devil's to and fro. He's not bound in buildings either. And he's not in hell. And so we need to be busy. We need to be active. When you're in distress, help somebody else. Amen? Best thing you can do. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I just thank You so much. You have been so good to us. I thank You for Job. And my heart goes out to him. I understand what he's gone through just a little bit. And Father, I thank You that You allowed him to go through that for my sake. That may be selfish, but God, thank You for that, because I learned so much through Job. Help this Thy people as we go through a little trial right now. God, help our faith to increase. Help us to understand the function of the church, that it's not the building, it's the people. And that, God, our strength is when we move together in unity. So Lord, help us not to falter. Build our faith. If there's one here that doesn't have true faith in Christ this morning, God, convict that heart. Help them to come right now before we take another step forward. God, help them to come and get that thing completely settled. That they might say, just like Job, he went through some trials, but he could say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. God, help that one that doesn't have the faith in Jesus Christ that they need right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Tim, would you stand with us as Brother Tim leads in song?
Page 371.
If you need to come, you can come. There is room right here.